Wendy Liebman, CEO and Chief Shopper of WSL Strategic Retail, and this is Future Shop, or in fact, a special version that we've been doing lately called Cloud Chat, and with my partner in crime, Justin Honneman, the head of worldwide consumer goods at Amazon Web Service and guru of all things technology. This is where we have a short, sharp, hopefully provocative chat about emerging technology and the implications for the future of retail. Hello, Justin. Good to see you again.
And I know. It's so good to be here. I love doing these. I've gotten a lot of feedback from, I'll say, listeners or watchers of this, and it's been fun doing these with you. And it was great seeing you last week at the NACDS anniversary event, and then you guys hosted some incredible events around that. And I mean, you just see the power of relationships and connectivity in our industry and how you can really get things done through relationships. And you guys are really at the heart of that. So thank you for the invite to those events.
It was great. And just for everybody, Justin was honored with an award from MMR, the leading trade publication, retail trade publication, for being one of the people who made a difference in 2023. So congratulations on that. Well deserved.
It was great. And I, you know, it was so great to meet the other retail leaders. I mean, I work with retailers every day in my role, but the group that was honored was just an incredible group. And many of them I didn't know. And so again, yeah. Like I walked out there going, wow. I mean, I was just blown away.
Yeah. Between a few days of, as Justin said, retail meetings, we saw really the range of all the major mass retailers in this country and around the world. We had the new CEO of Walgreens Boots Alliance, as well as Kroger and Costco and Walmart, all the CVS people. It was just an extraordinary week.
It was just, what a great group. So
yeah, and all the regional, the other regional drug chains that we love. So anyway, I don't need to preach to all of you about the value of retail relationships and building those relationships in even social situations, often the best way to do it, because Justin and I are joined at the hip on that conversation. But anyway, so here we go in the new year, into the new year, 2024. Yep. What are the trends that you're watching in your space, tech, consumables, retail?
Gosh, a lot of momentum going into 2024. I mean, if you look at the numbers around consumer sentiment, just in most geographies, it's very strong. Interest rates expected to come down in 2024. Looking at things like inflation of input costs going into producing product coming down. So it's a really interesting setup going into the new year. Also, retailers, most of them have resolved their supply chain issues. In fact, as we talked about, I think on one of our other episodes, some retailers ended up with too much inventory. So they're working through some of that as we go into the new year. Of course, technology will be a big topic, especially at NRF in January. And we can talk about some of what those technology topics will be or topic areas will be. But I think it's going to be an interesting focus in retail going into next year with a lot of expected growth in different channels.
You know, one of the things that we've been seeing, though, and it disturbs me some, is that even though on some of the measures you see, you know, the improved confidence sentiment, there's just this sort of underlying concern we see in our How America Shops work from shoppers. We saw it leading into the holidays, and we're still seeing it as, you know, we move into 2024, about the sort of just in case they, even though the economic indicators, you know, the sort of bigger economic indicators look so much better, to your point, that people still feel prices will go up, rightly or wrongly. They feel they won't come down, which is probably true in most places. They feel they've got less disposable income. That's had an impact over the holidays. And so this is sort of sentiment versus reality in some ways. But, you know, sentiment is reality when it comes to shopping for a lot of things. So that's the worry, you know, I have. We see, you know, businesses in better shape, you know, the macroeconomic indicators in better shape.
Sure.
But all of this other stuff. So, you know, from your perspective, how do we balance that out? And how do we use technology, digital to understand that better?
Yeah, well, I highlighted a lot of the economics indicators. You're right. On the consumer side, you know, prices are still very high for grocery, for example. You're still seeing trade-off to private label in grocery stores because of that cost. And, you know, what you can buy for the same amount of money is less, right, in grocery today. Same thing with like fashion, apparel, travel. There's quite a bit of, I'll say, inflation or higher costs in that, you know, that limits to what you can actually to do right with your budget. So I, you know, I'm not the expert on all of the metrics in terms of, you know, performance, but I will say there's no doubt. I mean, you see the, how the shopper is making decisions in the store. And what's interesting is like, if you look at premium, that's a very different case for that shopper than I'd say the majority of others that are struggling with some of the high costs.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I find interesting about all that is with the kind of data and analytics we have now, I mean, the breadth of it and the ability, you've been teaching me a lot about, you know, AI, generative AI, the ability to analyze and personalize. It seems to me that in many ways, with this sort of yin yang mindset going on, that we really, that's where better data and better understanding of the consumer shopper really need comes to play here in being able to deliver what people want when they want it at, you know, at prices they can afford. So am I being, you know, is that too much of a leap now?
No, I think it's an interesting point. Just in the, even in the last couple of weeks, you know, I spend every day with meetings with retailers and consumer goods brands, and the interest level now in things like personalization on e-commerce or marketplace sites that, you know, it's not a new topic, but it has been coming up the curve very quickly because of the power of some of the new AI models that can help drive engagement, drive loyalty, drive interactions, drive basket building. And so I do think that the tech part of this will come into play in terms of solution options and also and like in what you do around your commerce platform, both in on the retail side and the CPG side. Actually, I don't think I'm already seeing it. So like that, I think that's interesting because, like I said, personalization is not new. I'm surprised the number of companies I've met with that have not deployed personalization 101, either in the contact center or through email or chat or direct mail or, well, there's so direct. It's amazing. So I think that's one area that will definitely up this next year.
Yeah, I do. I feel like that's that moment that we really have to know consumers and shoppers better if we're going to encourage them not just to say, oh, I'll either opt out and I won't buy stuff, or I'll just try and find the cheapest price I can. That if I really know who they are better and what their interests are better, then I can really target, tailor, provide solutions, add value, and then, you know, get them to buy more.
Sure. Well, there's also a proliferation of platforms on which you can sell now as a brand or as a retailer that has product. I mean, think about the way that you, if you're on Instagram and you see an ad, it'd be really interesting to look at the numbers of which platform and where decisions were made around product, and because that is certainly multiplying, and being and behind that is our models to recommend right to you as a potential purchaser of those products or to try out new products. And same with product reviews. So anyway, there's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah, and I think when people are more cautious about how they're spending and is the product going to work for them, not just on basic consumables, sodas, you know, whatever, snacks, things like that, but on new things, you know, that search, that recommendation becomes even more important. And to, you know, whether it's seeing somebody on TikTok or Instagram and then buying or just influencing them, you just see all of that. We see it a lot in health and wellness work that we're doing where people are searching everywhere for information because they're not getting really what they want. And it's very time consuming. So, you know, you've sort of inspired me a lot to think about technology and digital in this, in that vein. So anyway, so other things that, I mean, supply chain important.
Of course, you know, I mean, supply chain. So an underlying theme, you know, at NRF and going into this next year is going to be all the AI discussion. And I think it, like, we will see it in a couple of weeks as we look around and everybody is going to be an AI expert. And so it'd be interesting to see which companies are deliberate about their strategy for generative AI specifically, not AI, but generative AI. And then which ones are, you know, putting it to the side or not jumping in and testing it. As we've talked about on other episodes, is a game changer and disruptor and a real potential value add in terms of the, you know, the old days of seamless customer experience. Well, generative AI can superpower that. So it's going to be interesting to see how companies are using that. We're going to hear all kinds of good examples of it in the next couple of weeks and the next couple of months. And that will really power a lot of energy behind that. And that is in the supply chain space or customer experience, right?
Yeah, it's interesting because I had on just recently Mally Bernstein, who is the CEO of Blue Mercury, and she was talking about not just her specialty beauty formats and new formats she's opening and all of those things and customer experience. She was really talking about the role of AI and generative AI to support her teams so they could provide a much more personalized service and have time, not only by knowing who her shoppers are better, but also to give her teams, you know, the ability to be better educated, faster, and deliver content and serve the customers more. So for her, she wasn't just designing new lovely stores with new innovative products. She was actually thinking about the role very quickly of how all of this would play in delivering the experience.
Totally. Well, you're right. And there's as much people and process changes, the technology that's behind it. So like what you're really talking about too is people's roles will change. And we expect that to happen the vast majority of customer experience or customer facing roles with our customers, because the speed to getting information or getting access to or doing some of the menial tasks that you may have been used to, even on the, you know, for example, images or text and whatnot. I mean, like, that's real today. Like, and so your role is going to change to, and you're going to be getting faster to the points where you can do something with information, do something with images or video and whatnot. And I think that's going to really be interesting to see how companies shift, right? How people shift into that skill set and understanding, and how it also will disrupt some of the support companies, agencies, consulting, you know, groups that do work for our retail and CPG brands.
Yeah. And I think that's actually that makes me think a lot about a conversation. We've been doing some work with a CPG client in the beauty space, but we've been talking a big global beauty company about what the future of retail and beauty retail will look like, and helping them think about that. And one of the things that struck me is, you know, even though this is a gigantic company and it's put a lot of emphasis behind e-commerce and digital, they still don't seem, as many don't, to connect the story around the consumer as shopper. And they still treat e-commerce as its own channel. And I'm like, stop it.
Another way to buy your product, right?
I mean, yeah. And all the digital tools that, you know, we're now talking about, we've said to them, you know, it's just the underscore enabler of everything. So if you're not thinking about that through the lens of the shopper who's already using everything, then this sort of silos just gets exacerbated in this new world. So I don't know where you're seeing, are you seeing specific companies or categories of brand, you know, product categories or retailers who are doing a better job at this, naming names or not, or there's still a long way to go on a scale of 1 to 10.
So for some of you that haven't been in retail for long, just a little bit of history. So many retailers, you know, they have their stores and their the systems that support those stores. And then they launched e-commerce and they were like, let's put that over here because we don't know. It's kind of this new thing. Well, now it's not a new thing, obviously, years later, but it's built on other systems. So many retailers struggle even just 101 trying to get single view of like performance and operational understanding and then be able to make decisions. Okay. So therefore, what we're seeing quite a bit of, especially I'd say in the last 6 to 12 months, is on the retail side, especially an interest in moving to more flexible commerce, B2B and B2C, by the way, commerce platforms that, first of all, connect across channels, regardless of whether it's a store, it's a website, it's a a mobile platform. It's a fill in the blank, right? But also allow you the flexibility to choose best of breed technologies to leverage. So whether it's a contact center solution, whether it's a text solution, whether it's a personalization solution, whatnot, you can have a more flexible ability to map in and out new capabilities. So there's a lot of work happening in that space. It's called composable commerce for those that want to be looking into that. And there's many companies blooming and growing in that space. And again, at NRF, they will all be there.
Yeah. No, I think that it's going to, be called the National Generative AI Federation, maybe this year, 2023. Well, that will be the big AI show. What do you reckon?
It will be. But there will be, you know, commerce platform players. There'll be the supply chain. A lot of companies are looking at new different ways to manage their supply chain. And
yes.
Back office operations are frustrated with the inflexibility of legacy platforms. I mean, and those inflexible platforms are not moving very fast to fix that problem. So there are other players getting into that space. It's a whole tension playing out around just that area.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. And you have tantalized us last episode, I think, by saying there'll be some use cases that will be revealed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm eager to see what that, because it'll bring it all to life.
Who are you around? I'm going to show you a bunch of great demonstrations, in production, not just generative AI, but a kind of new tech around virtual try-on, around visual supply chain. Anyway, more to come on that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just made me think quickly before we wrap up. One of our clients from the UK is retail clients is coming in, and one of the things that we're really talking about is, you know, how do you enhance, you know, experience, customer experience with, you know, better, more flexible technologies, so that it's everything from supply chain to all the way of how you interact with the consumer shopper, you know, in the buying experience.
You know, one thing that generative AI did this year is we brought the business into the conversation of digital and technology and analytics and data. And, you know, this isn't just IT's got that. You guys, let me know when you need something. I mean, my challenge to everyone that's here that might be on the business side is don't lose the energy that came from kind of this generative AI excitement, you know, that brought together the business and IT. There's so much power in that, and so much power that came and has come from the conversations we have had with a room full of business and technology leaders. It is so different than when it's just the technology team or just the line of business team. That would be my challenge, is keep that model, because it's so powerful and differentiating.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you just reminded me, there's another client of ours in the healthcare space on the manufacturer side, who, you know, has just picked up the responsibility for you know, IGM. So this sort of growth management. And I said to him the other day, you know, this whole area of cost saving, as you think about how do you add value, but also how do you take cost out of something, you know, the ability to think about these kind of technologies as you evaluate how you're delivering goods and services and then creating, you know, value and price point. This seems so exciting, but you're right. We all jump down there. Oh, look at this chat. We could get on chat and create whatever wonderful, you know, we could create wonderful, new novels that we always wanted to write in a second or something, or books. But actually, there's so much there in that space that can help people as they think about growth and revenue management and all of that. So lots of excitement. Last question. What's your best shopping experience this year? What a person, a real person, not a Amazon web.
I was going to say shopping on Amazon.
Did you do any shopping? Of course it's Amazon. I want to push Amazon to the side. Other than Amazon, what other fabulous shopping experience, or horrible, did you have?
So I have a worldwide team, and so I've had a chance to spend time in a number of different geographies this year. And the first theme I would just say is, the stores are booming. I mean, crowded, busy, you know, with an obvious investment in stores. You know what I mean? You're seeing physical store tech, physical store appearance and experience really stepping up. In terms of like a great shopping experience that I have had, I would say that some interesting ones are when I'm working with a retailer and I go shop their store before I go meet with them. And you would think this is 101, and some of you don't do it. And I'm telling you, you need to do this. But if you're going to go meet with, let's see, Neiman Marcus, you should go to their store and spend time in their store ahead of time.
Right? Surprise.
So what I really enjoyed this year was, we're working with so many different retail brands, was going to their store and just kind of look and seeing what they're doing at the tactical operations level, talking to the people there, and really seeing the interest and engagement and investments that retailers are making, and then being able to kind of validate that with their teams. Yeah. And so I know it's not a shopping experience, but that is a shopping experience for me, is to see it kind of come to life on both ends.
How I never understand how people walk into a meeting
Watching this that does this, right? If you're I'm here in Atlanta. Carter's is right across the street. If you're going to work with Carter's, you go to a Carter's store before you go meet with Carter's.
Right. And look at their website and pick up the price, you know, all of those things, which seem so basic to us.
Right.
And watch the people buying and talk to the people on the floor. And first of all, it brings it all to life, which is wonderful. Absolutely. You know, it's not just intellectual, you know, whatever, pablum, which is great. So I'll tell you my best, because you didn't ask.
Sorry.
We took a group to look at retail on our retail safari. And so we were in New York. Two, neither will surprise you. One is the continuing consistency of REI, the outdoor mountaineering, climbing, which I do not do. The people, the pride, they hire the right people who are proud to not only talk, they're experts, they love to talk about their latest climb, hike, whatever, backpacking, and their, you know, their eagerness to get you engaged in whatever way you want, which I love. The other was the Lego store, which just continues to blow my mind. There were two young Japanese women personalizing little figures for themselves and creating little things. And they were so engaged, as well as little tiny kids who are, you know, building things. And and it was just to watch those two experiences, one kind of we've seen a lot, and then the other, and two different, totally different categories. But you look at that level of engagement and you go,
yeah.
It's fun. So all good.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, we've talked about this before too, but you've built your business on the doing these safaris and really introducing customers to retail and helping them understand like the nuances of it, right? Kind of let's walk in, let me explain what's happening around this store.
Yeah.
Why this store, you know, why.
Anyway. And walk it like a consumer that you are before you put on a work hat and then you intellectualize things and forget the basics of, hello, how are you? Come in. May I show you? Anyway, whatever. I'm preaching to the converted. I know that. Listen, thank you for this. As always, we will have, I know you're going to be up to your ears in NRF, but we will be juggling our various and sundries. So I'm eager to see all what dazzles you at Amazon Web Service.
I'm going to give you a whole tour of what dazzles me in weeks. So looking forward
to it. Yeah, it's going to be really, really exciting. And then we'll have more to talk about.
Yep.
As we segue. So anyway, happy everything. Happy, wonderful 2024. All good things. Looking forward to playing, seeing with you. So we'll see you in the future.